Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Joining us, we've got Dave Jackson, who's from Western Air Care Ministries. He's a pastor, an ACC pastor, and does a great work with Western Air Care in Gilgandra. And also on the line, we've got Warwick Marsh from the Canberra Declaration. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing even better now. I'm talking to someone like you. King of Christian radio, Matt. King of Christian radio. Come on.
Jesus is the king of Christian radio, Warwick. Come on, calm down, calm down.
Okay. I'll calm down. You must be second in charge, though. You must be his right-hand man.
I'm doing what I can, brother. Now, Warwick, you and I have worked together for a number of years with the National Day of Prayer and Fasting and with the Canberra Declaration, and I just love the focus that we have this month. Asking people to join all across Australia for rain, repentance and renewal. And it ends on October 31, and we're expecting big things in this last week. Warwick, what's the latest, mate?
Well, look, you know, the best news I could tell you is we've had a lot of rain. Well, we haven't, but we have had some rain.
Mm.
And that rain has fallen in some very, worst affected drought areas. Somewhere between 10 to 20% of the drought-affected areas have received rain. The rest is just bone dry. So, hey, let's keep praying. Let's keep coming before the throne of God and be like the persistent widow and not give up.
Mm.
It's encouraging, though, when, farmers in sort of the Inverell area, I know farmers have had sort of between 1 to 2 inches up there, which is great, 25 to 50 millimetre. And up around Rockhampton in sort of southern Queensland, Bulawila, they've had a good 2 or 3 inches of rain, which is just amazing, you know. And they've been really doing it tough up there. And the coast, for that matter, Brisbane, they've had rain too, which has been good. And in Toowoomba, they've had rain. So it's only like, you know, when the ground gets so, so dry, Matt, the problem with an inch or 2 inches of rain, it just goes straight in there and just disappears. So literally, we are desperate for follow-up rain.
Mm. And you've been out and about, mate. Where have you been visiting recently?
Well, look, just the weekend before last, we went out to Ningen and we supported Dave Jackson, who's on the line with me this morning. Dave is a mighty man of God doing incredible work. He's been serving faithfully in the bush, dedicated to helping in a practical way the people of the bush the last 40 years, in ministry for 50 years, serving God. And he takes bales of hay out there. His favourite saying is, if God looks like a bale of hay, we'll take a bale of hay out to the farmers, because right now a bale of hay looks a lot like an angel from heaven from their point of view. And we went out to Ningen. We did some presentations. We were able to raise $14,000 direct from the Canberra Declaration through our most recent appeal. But we put it out there right across the nation through our network. And, you know, a big shout out and big thank you to Vision Radio, because we did an interview with David on the 2020 program just before this whole thing started, the whole month of prayer and fasting for rain, and we have seen an absolute amazing release of finance. It's heading towards a $50,000 mark. It might have just passed that, and every day more people are ringing up and saying they want to help, and I think that's very, very good to buy a bale of hay. Get some molasses, which is the food for sheep, or nutrients, or, you know, just helping farmers with grocery, because right now they're cash strapped.
Mm. Well, it's amazing to hear of the support, the groundswell of support we're seeing of prayer, finances, and just getting the word out across this nation. It's so important. Let's bring Dave Jackson onto the line. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, doing well, thanks, Matt.
Now, Dave, you've been a chaplain for the Rural Fire Service for more than 20 years. You're an ACC pastor based in Gilgandra there in New South Wales. Tell us a bit about how Western Air Care all started.
We run a ministry called Western Air Ministries, have done now for about 40, 45 years or so. I started young. I'm not that old. And over the period of time, our main emphasis has been ministering in the bush to those who don't have the opportunity to get to a church. And as time has gone on, we've just found out that floods, fires, famine or drought, whatever we like to call it, just has been racking our country. So we also have become very much involved in a lot of aid work, particularly to farmers, but not necessarily to farmers, anything to do with agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been in the process now for about 40, 45 years or so,
mm-hmm.
in different forms. It hasn't been until recently that we actually established our charity program. We were doing everything through Western Air Ministries, but once the government started getting stricter on charities and the way they operate and things like that, we decided we'd better do the right thing, get ourselves established correctly. So we've been running the charity now for the last couple of years and been involved in, as I said, droughts, floods, fires, you know, anything where people are suffering, because we believe that through God, every born-again believer is the answer to every problem that anybody on God's earth will ever have.
Mm.
So we're out there just doing it because we love people, we love God, and hey, what else could you spend your life doing?
Well, mate, you know, I want to just pick your brain a bit about, you know, this focus of prayer for rain, repentance and renewal. Yesterday, yep. I actually watched a brilliant TV interview with Angus Buchan, well-known from the movie Faith Like Potatoes, and he was talking about how they've had, you know, these miracles happen on the land in South Africa, and he runs this big men's movement. It's a great man of faith. But he was holding his Bible in his hand, and on his Bible, his big black Bible, it says, agricultural manual for life or something, you know. I thought it's brilliant, you know, that he, you know, you look at all the agricultural advice in the scriptures. There's a lot in there for farmers, isn't there, mate? Just tell us a bit about what you've learned from God's word about the land.
Well, I started off farming myself, Matt. My parents were dry land farmers here in the Gulganda area. And I loved the farming. If it was up to me, I'd still be farming. I loved the farming. I loved the football, go to the Broncos. I really had no intentions of going into any ministry. But at a very tender age of 16, I was driving our bulldozer one day and God started to speak to me about a town I'd finish up preaching in. And I thought I was having a nightmare. I thought it was all out of shape. I thought I'd been in the sun for too long. But as time went on, I began to understand that God was calling me in a different direction to what I had planned. But what I have noticed right through my entire ministry career is that there's so many instances in the Word of God that deal with the land, that deal with nature, that deal with sowing, that deal with reaping, droughts, flooding rains. I had the lot. But I totally believe and agree with Angus Buchanan that not only the manual for agriculture, but the manual for life is the Word of God.
Mm.
And it's a time in our nation when I think if every Christian could get back to grassroots reality about the goodness and the just the way that God wants to bless his people. He doesn't want any to perish, but it's up to us as Christians to get a hold of that and start proclaiming it. And, mate, in our small way, in our insignificant way, that's what we do. We just go to show the love of Christ. And like you said, there are so many instances in the Word of God that deal with nature because Jesus spoke with a farming community when he was on earth, and he's still speaking to farmers. He still speaks to the city, but God lives in the country. You understand that. He visits the city occasionally, but he lives in the country, man. So we've got to be out there spreading the gospel, and it's all relevant to everybody's situation. And the Bible, I do believe, has the answer for every question for every person on planet Earth today.
Absolutely, mate. Well, we're going to open the phone lines now. If you'd like to call through and have a chat with our two guests today, phone lines are open on 1-800-316-316. We'd love to know if you're struggling with the drought in your part of the country. And if you've had any rain recently as well, maybe you'd like some prayer, call through and have a chat to our two guests today, 1-800-316-316. And, mate, I know that you went to 3CN Church, a bush church, serving people of the bush recently in Ningen. Tell us a bit about that trip, mate.
Yeah, well, look, everything we do, Matt, is undergirded by a whole lot of good people, volunteers, that make it what it is. And a whole bunch of Christian guys, organised by my good mate Andrew Hunter out of Sydney, goes to the Petersham ACC Church. They do something in Ningen once a year called a Ningen Nudge. They just come along just to help it in a time of drought, because Ningen is suffering immensely. Both the community and the farmers are all doing it tough. And we just wanted to do something out there that would lift the spirit of the community. We just wanted to go out there, not to preach to everybody, but just to show the love of Christ. Because when we show the love of Christ, who we are and what we do speak so loudly that people don't hear what we're trying to say anyway. But it's a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a message of God's enduring feeling and understanding of humanity that he has for us. So we go out there. We spend the day. We got jumping castles, we got slippery slides, we got fairy floss machines, and we got big barbecue going, chip making machine. Yeah, mate, we just look like the travelling circus when we hit town. But it's just something to bless the people of the community and to bless the farmers, get their mind off this blessed drought that's crippling everybody, and endeavour just to show them the love of God.
And Warwick Marsh from the Canberra Declaration. Mate, we were just chatting before about your trip to Dubbo. Tell us a bit about some of the stuff you saw out there, just to give us a bit of an idea of how tough things are out there, mate.
Well, look, you know, from Ningen, we travelled down to Dubbo, and I was just chatting to my Aboriginal friend who spoke at the prayer meeting we had for rain in Dubbo, and I'll tell you a bit about that in a second, but he told me a very, very sad story, Matt. He was called out to a school. So he often goes out to schools to speak. He's an Indigenous elder, Frank Doolin. They call him Riverbank Frank because he lives in the riverbank there in a caravan on the river. So he's a well-known identity in Dubbo, and he's involved in the community, a very strong Christian man. And he was called to a school to a comfort of school that was grieving because a promising young year 12 student, so I'm guessing he's 17, 18 years of age, he'd committed suicide. In the suicide note, he said, I'm committing suicide, and part of the reason is because the drought has been hurting our family and our family farm, and we're struggling. And so that's one of the components that led into suicide, which is incredibly sad. But this is what's actually happening out in the bush. People are going through absolute torture because you and I get up to, we can see some trees in our suburb, Matt. But the people in the bush, they've just got to look out the window and they see the ground is bare. They see the sheep are starving. They're worrying about how to pay the bills, to get the feed in, to do the things they've got to do, to truck the water in some cases. And it's just overwhelming. And that's why we went down to Dubbo after Ningen. We a guy named John O'Goff organised a prayer meeting with combined churches, and we gathered on a hill overlooking Dubbo. It's called Burke Hill, and it's just bare, brown, dirt hill. And we prayed for God to send the rain. We prayed for repentance. We prayed that God would bless Dubbo. And you wouldn't credit it, but there's these grey storm clouds gathering in the east, and they're about 50 k's away. And by the time we finished the prayer meeting, it was sprinkling rain, and it was only a couple of millimetres of rain, but a couple of millimetres of rain in that sort of dramatic fashion certainly gave us a lot of encouragement and gave the people of Dubbo a lot of encouragement.
Mm. Well, you know, I love Dubbo. I've been there a few times preaching at the Baptist Church there, and been at the Dubbo Christian College there. They're salt of the earth people out in the bush, and we've also got Dave Jackson with us on the line today, an ACC pastor from Western Air Care Ministries. Just want to open the phone lines once again. If you want to call through, call now 1-800-316-316. We'd love to have a chat with you about what's happening in your part of Australia. Maybe you'd like some prayer today. We'd love to hear from you. Mate, we've got a few minutes till we go to the news, Dave. And every shift on Vision Radio over the month of October, we're focusing on prayer for rain, repentance and renewal. We've just heard Warwick talking about praying in Dubbo there. Mate, would you pray a prayer with everyone listening right now for our nation today, Dave? Is that all right?
That's not a problem, my friend.
All right, mate, you go for it.
Righto. Father, we love this nation of Australia.
It's a great southland of the Holy Spirit. Father, we're not sure what's going on at present with this drought, but Father, we know that you are the answer to every man's question. Today we pray, Father, first of all, for an acknowledgement, an understanding and a wave of your Holy Spirit just to move across our land in love, with care and understanding, to envelop people and to let them know that they're not standing alone, but you are standing with them right at this point in time. Father, we confess as a nation, we've done things that are not right. We've endorsed issues that aren't in agreement with your word. But Father, today as your people, we stand before you, we acknowledge we have done things wrong and we ask for your forgiveness and we ask, Holy Spirit, that this great southland of the Holy Spirit will be healed. We pray for the natural rain. We pray for spiritual rain. We pray for a wave of repentance and renewal to sweep across this great nation and draw people unto yourself. We pray for every farmer, every businessman that is suffering at this point in time, that you will comfort them, that you would be with them, and that you would just love them as your people go to minister to them. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dave, for your prayers. And I really believe that, you know, when we pray, we're going to see the answers to our prayers on the headlines around this nation. We're going to see a great move of God in this nation. We're going to see it spiritually, but also we're believing for rain in the natural as well. Mate, we've got a couple of minutes to the news. I just want to mention, firstly, if anyone wants to call and have a chat, call now 1-800-316-316. Now, Dave, you mentioned farmers and business people struggling. We've heard some horrific stories of farmers taking their own lives. Just tell us a bit about what it's like on the ground when you're ministering to farmers at the moment, mate.
Yeah. You've got to take the presence of God in there as you go, otherwise the whole scene will overwhelm you. You've got to be relying on something much bigger than what the drought is.
Mm.
So, look, it's gut-wrenching. When you go in there and you start talking to farmers, you start interviewing, they talk about their problems, they talk about the lack of finance, the lack of feed, the lack of just not knowing what to do. Do they sell? Do they keep buying fodder because it's getting very expensive? They're getting further into debt. But what we got to do is go in with a very positive attitude that as Christians, we can make a difference.
Mm.
So whenever we take the presence of God in, I do believe that we do make a difference, and it's a light in the end of the tunnel for the farmer. And as we continue to keep going there, keep loving them, keep sharing with them, like we can't help everybody, but those that we do help, I believe it makes a big difference.
Absolutely, mate.
So we take the hay, we buy all the groceries locally that we're going to distribute, or we give out vouchers to the local IGA store, just to bless the people. All for the one reason, to show them that God loves them, we love them, and we're going to get through this drought together.
Mm. Such a great ministry. And once again, the website is westernaircare.org if they want to find out more about Western Air Care. And we've got a link at our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/visionradio. And we're asking the question there if you want to make a comment or if you want to have a look at this great video clip of Dave Jackson doing work with Western Air Ministries. You can have a look at that video at facebook.com/visionradio. We've got Don from Gundawindi on the line. How are you, buddy?
Good, Matt. How are you going, mate?
Very good, Don. Yeah. Now, I've been out of your farm a few times with some mates and been able to help out a little bit. We brought out a couple of care packages in the past, but I know that you've been struggling in the drought there in Gundawindi, mate, and you've been off the farm for 6 weeks with a busted knee, mate, so you're doing it tough. But what's the latest with your cattle out there, mate?
Well, we've over the last 2 years, we had 220 breeders 2 years ago, and all those have all gone. We're down to 60 young heifers. That's all we can feed at the moment. We've had to sell the whole lot, and most of those have gone over to China.
And
I'm not the only one. All the farmers around our place have got to the stage where they can't afford to buy any feed anymore, and they're just holding on in whatever way they can do. And the greatest problem that we've got at the moment is no farmers, no feed. And that extends across from Roma right down into the Victoria. So we've got a disaster on our hands that's bigger than, well, it's in the Bible, but it hasn't happened in Australia since 1946 when they had food rationing.
Well, Don, I know that you're a man of God, and last time I visited your property, I was there with a few Christian brothers, another pastor friend of ours, and we actually had a big map of Australia, and we stood on different states of Australia, and we prayed for Canberra, we prayed for Queensland, we prayed for WA, we prayed for different parts of Australia. I know you're a man of prayer, and I know we've talked about Luke 18 before, where there's the prayer, the persistent widow that kept on saying, "Grant me justice, grant me justice." And Jesus said, "This is how we should pray and never give up." Mate, are you still standing strong in faith in the midst of this disaster, or are you doing it tough?
Myself and my wife get up at 5 o'clock every day and spend half an hour just praying for this nation and the farmers and what God is wanting for this nation. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. And not only that, but farmers themselves, in our area, there's three guys have had big heart operations because the pressure's just been getting onto them.
Yeah.
And there's two other farmers that I know of have got serious health problems. I won't go into that area, but the farmers, they've told us back after 1974, get efficient or get out. And most of the farmers their children have walked off, and we've got an aged farming community of 60 plus, probably around about 68 year old. Well, there's people don't want to come back in and cop another 12 months of drought, so there's going to be a massive wholesale of property sold up, and that's the biggest concern, because we've lost all our skills, and that those farmers usually push through those skills onto their children, and the children now, I know. We've got my oldest son was a vet. He's come to be a teacher because he's such a good vet. I've got one son on the land, and he's struggling. He hasn't had a crop for 3 years, and he's struggling. But he's making his payment by selling stock and dealing stock. And then my daughter and her husband. He's a gun shearer, come off attrition up on Thursday on, but he'd want to get back to the land because they're onto their fourth child in the next week or so. And they want to bring all those kids back again. But the opportunities are not there at the moment, Matt, for them to leave Thursday on and come back again.
Well, Don, we're just going to bring on the line Dave Jackson from Western Air Care Ministries. Are you there, David?
Yeah, Matt, I'm here.
Have you got any questions or comments for Don in Gundawindi? Okay, mate, are you able to just pray for Don for us, please, mate?
Look, Don, I hear pain, and there's a lot of blokes doing it tough at the present moment. So I'm going to ask the God who knows the end from the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, to bless you and to be with you and to heal your knee as quick as possible in the name of Jesus, and get you back in the land. And we're also going to pray for rain. So, Father, I just thank you for blessing Don and his family. Him with the Spirit today. We thank you for healing, a speedy healing for his knee. We pray he'll get back onto the farm just as soon as he can. And we just pray, Lord, most of all, we pray, Lord God, for your grace to be poured out. Your grace. It's we're not asking for what we deserve, Father. We're asking for your grace to overpower our own sin. And we thank you, the Scripture says, that the Lord sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And we thank you also that Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," and then he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Lord, we have sinned, but Lord, your grace and the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than our sin, and we thank you for it now, and we thank you for blessing our dear brother Don in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Warwick. And Don has dropped off the line there as well. But if you'd like to call through 1-800-316-316, if you'd like to chat about how the drought is affecting your part of Australia, or if you'd like some prayer, call through 1-800-316-316. And Warwick, I don't know if you remember Don, but we actually had him at Canberra at the National Day of Prayer years ago praying for rain. Do you remember Don, the farmer from Gundawindi? Warwick?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, come to think about it, so he was the farmer.
That's right. Him and his son came.
Hall.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And he also came to the Brisbane, the Queensland Day of Prayer with Wes Leake as well. So that's when I first connected with Don. And I've had the privilege of going out to his farm a couple of times now. We took out a care package of some groceries a couple of times. And he's a great man of prayer. And I know he's ministering to a lot of farmers in his community at Gundawindi there. So you're welcome to call back on 1-800-316-316 if you want to chat. And also joining us on the line right now, we've got a caller from Adelaide. We've got Simon from Adelaide. How you doing, Simon?
Yeah, good, thanks. Matt, pretty tough, that story I just heard from Don there.
Yes.
Probably 7 years ago now, I was after 3 years drought, I was at the point of suicide. God got me through that. There's no doubt about that. Now, on top of my main income is off farm. But one of the questions, they're saying before, the fellow was saying there, I think it was Dave saying that... when he goes out to people, he tells Jesus loves them, hang in there. What happens if they turn around and say, if Jesus loves me, how come there's such a drought, because it's a tough question. Me being a man of faith, I can struggle with that one and say, well, this is the consequences of sin, but it's hard to give them an answer because I've got friends that are on the farm and I've never had no one say that to me, but I know it's in the back of their mind.
Yeah, it's a good question, Simon. We've got Dave on the line there. Dave, what are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, back on line again now. Simon, yes, it's a regular question that's asked of me. I do a fair few funerals, and when people tell me what they want done at the funeral, they usually make a comment, he wasn't a religious person. And when I'm talking to farmers, when I'm talking to people, I look for openings, and when they say to me, I'm not a religious person, I say, neither am I. I hate religion. It causes more problems around the world than enough, but I do love God, and that makes a big difference. Look for opportunities in their conversation that can come back to a Christ-centered conversation.
Yeah, good point.
For instance, they asked us, why do you deliver hay? Why are you doing what the government should be doing? And I say, because we love you and because God loves you.
Mm.
It's normal for a person that's been through a tragedy or going through a drought or wiped out by fire or flood for God not to be in the equation because they just don't know and understand God the way that Christians do. But I believe if we just hang in there, what we do speaks so loud that they don't hear what we say. Just keep loving people, keep visiting people, just keep sharing your life with people, and eventually they will begin to understand there's a greater force operating in your life than in their life, and they'll want to know what that is.
Very good, Dave. Thank you for that. Simon, any more thoughts or comments?
No, just thank you very much. That's excellent. Yeah, well said. Actions speak stronger than words.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call, Simon. God bless.
God bless you all. See you.
And if you'd like to call through and join the conversation, we've got two lines open right now. Call on 1-800-316-316. We've got another 10 minutes with our special guests. Maybe you want to tell us about how the drought is affecting you around Australia, or maybe you'd like some prayer. Maybe you've had some rain and you want to tell us some good news. We'd love to hear from you. Call through now on 1-800-316-316. And Warwick Marsh from the Canberra Declaration, any more comments you'd like to add after Dave's response there, mate?
Well, listen, I've got some really great news. I think it's great news anyway. Just while I've been online, I've just received an email, and the Catholic Church today is announcing a continuing month of prayer in November. And, that's just mega. Because, you see, the Canberra Declaration, we've been working with support of churches to call this month of prayer and fasting for rain. But there's an ongoing challenge. And the story of the persistent widow, you mentioned it, I've mentioned it. It's true, there's something powerful when people just keep praying.
Yeah.
refuse to let go of God. And God's a God of faith, and patience is one of the virtues of faith. And I'm just excited that the Catholic Church have taken up this run. So, like, you know, we'll finish on the 31st, but maybe we've got to sort of, well, I think it, we've actually got to keep on praying and not give up. And that's what it says, and Jesus actually shared that story, that parable of the unjust judge and the widow, and he actually puts the question: will he find faith when the Son of Man returns? Will he find faith on the earth? Referring to persistent prayer.
Yeah, that's good,
and
mate.
I'm just so excited that the Catholic Church is launching out to call their whole church to prayer, which is very, very exciting.
That's good, mate. Well, Warwick, we've got more calls coming in. If you want to join the conversation, you can connect with us at facebook.com/visionradio. And we've got Peter from Toowoomba. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks.
What would you like to chat about?
Well, I've got something controversial to say, considering the previous callers. And I understand that with those facing tragedy and trials, that we're to come alongside and stand in the gap between them and God, if we can, if we're reconciled to God ourselves. But if we fail to clearly proclaim the gospel of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come to the people anywhere where we go, could be here in our country, could be overseas, then we are doing them a disservice. It may be tough to do, and if we're not welcomed, then we should shake the dust off our feet and lead them to the Lord. But it's the most unloving thing to do is to fail to clearly present the gospel in a loving way, in an unjudgmental way, because we're all sinners, once we're sinners. And so I just want to put that out there, that the great tragedy of John Flynn, the starter of the Flying Doctors, is that he changed his message in the last day. And I know people who knew him directly. And in his early career, he was a brilliant preacher. And then he just changed to helping people, just helping people. And I know people directly. I've met them, my own family, who were in the outback for many years, suffered under similar circumstances before we came down from the bush. And you would say things, oh, he was great. He didn't tell us about the Bible. He just listened to us. And that is a tragedy. And what it became of the Royal Flying Doctor Service is totally secular today. There may be Christians working there. I know some of them. I'm a pilot myself. They may have a faith, but the strong gospel is something that we must proclaim. And don't be afraid of it. We should be if it brings this nation to its knees, that's a good thing.
Well, thank you for your comments, Peter. Let me just bring David in. What are your thoughts on that, mate? David, are you there?
Yep, Dave's here.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, mate?
Yep, I'm hearing what you're saying, Pete. We never fail to bring Christ into it at some point in time, and we never fail to preach the message of salvation. Sin separates us from God. But when you're talking to a farmer who's had 7 years of drought, lost most of his stock, probably going to lose most of his property, and you've already buried his wife, there's a fair bit of hell involved in that 7 years. And the approach must be one of love, one of understanding, and one of firmness towards what you got to say or how you want the conversation to finish up. And it must always finish up with explaining the love of God, in that while we were yet sinners, he gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary, and we must come to an understanding of Christ as Lord and Saviour. Conversation always finishes there, but it never, ever starts with that hard line, simply because these guys have been to hell and back.
So I agree.
There's patience, there's time, there's involvement.
Sorry, Peter, what's your response to that, mate?
It always should be based on love, and it's not a hard line. It's a soft line. You can do it very softly. I do it regularly. I share the gospel regularly, and I do it in a way that people say, wow, I've never heard anyone explain it to me like that. I understand you for the first time. And so it's not from the point of judgment. It's not the point of hardline gospel preaching. It's not bashing people with the Bible. It's proclaiming clearly that of the gospel of Jesus Christ, And and if we just help people, if we just that they'll just think, oh, that's lovely, those bunch of people, you know, and then they'll go off and carry on as before. There'll be no conviction.
Yep.
And that I understand where you're coming from. I'm from the bush. But we've got to get tough. Tough love spoken with love.
And yep. And Dave, I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you, mate? You do share the gospel. It's just about when you do it. You just got to pick the right time, don't you?
Absolutely. You look for the openings.
Yeah.
I've discovered this in my 52 years of preaching. The message never changes, but the methods are always changing.
Yeah. Good point.
You've just got to find the right spot, and then when God opens a door, you walk through that door, and then you start to give the message that God wants you to give. In the meantime, people are watching what we're doing, watching where we're going, watching how we're living our lives. The Bible says our lives are epistles seen and read of all men. And when our life measures up to the gospel of love and forgiveness and understanding of God, then people start asking questions, and that's where you move in with the love of Christ and the message of salvation, and that sin must be dealt with.
That's good stuff, Dave. And thank you so much for your call, Pete. Appreciate that. And, you know, I do just want to mention also, I think there's a concern that many ministries can have mission drift, where they start out, loving and sharing the gospel, but then they end up just doing the practical things but not actually sharing the gospel. And it should be both and, not either or. We should always share the gospel. That's also a very big part of our mission. And it all comes down to timing, doesn't it? We have got another caller on the line. We've got Philip from Boona. How you doing, Philip?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Have you got a question or a comment?
Oh, I've got a comment.
Go for it.
What this drought is caused by, I believe, is that we have walked right away from the Word of God. We've allowed things like abortion, we've allowed euthanasia and all this sort of rubbish come in, which is just plain murder, to come into our country. And I believe that a lot of this is a consequence of our walking away from the gospel. If we line up everything that we do with the gospel, yes, God will heal our land. You know, if our people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal the land and forgive their sins.
It's a good comment, Philip. Warwick Marsh, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, Matt, I believe Philip's right. We've also got to put our parenthesis in here that Australia is the driest continent on earth, number one, and that Dorothy McKellar wrote that poem 100 plus years ago, A Land of Droughts and Flooding Rain. So we have a history of climatic instability, but the reality of sin, when Adam disobeyed and turned his back on God by eating that fruit that was forbidden, sin got in control, literally. Jesus Christ came to break the power of the curse so that we have good news. The gospel is good news, and Jesus broke the power of the curse in our lives as individuals. But Jesus has also given us in the covenant, in the new covenant, healing, restoration, deliverance, salvation. And I believe that deliverance and salvation can come upon the earth too as believers pray. And so that's why the key verse for our prayers over this month of prayer and fasting for rain is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So God is in the business of healing people's hearts. He's in the business of healing people's families. He's in the business of healing people's lands. So, you know, we have been coming before God on our Zoom nightly prayer calls and repenting, and people have been praying prayers of repentance on Facebook, and this has gone right across the whole nation. And as we heard, the Catholic Church is going to continue in November, and we have to recognize that what our brother is saying is correct. We have to come back to God. Part of the condition of healing is coming back to God. But the good news is we are actually praying for the grace of God to repent, because even God gives us that grace, and that grace comes from heaven. And in effect, we are struggling even to repent. So we're actually praying for the grace of God to give us that ability to repent in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Warwick, it's been so good to hear from you again today. And it's also been great to be joined by Pastor David Jackson from Western Air Care Ministries. Once again, the website is westernaircare.org if people want to make a financial donation. What does the money go towards, Dave, if people make a donation to Western Air Care?
They can put a preference into what it goes to.
Yep.
But it can be fuel to run our trucks. It can be money to buy hay or to buy supplements or whatever we can get our hands on to as fodder for the hungry stock. If they want to put it to administration, we can put it to administration. But basically, we are a volunteer-based organisation. Nobody takes any money out of it. And whatever people specify the money is to be used for, that's exactly what we use the money for. So they can virtually control the money right through to its end result. And look, if anybody wants to come out and do a trip with us, we're more than welcome to have them come along and just see what we do and to make sure that their gift is reaching the right spot.
Absolutely brilliant. And once again, the website is westernaircare.org. You can make a donation there. And all the links we have at our Facebook page, facebook.com/visionradio. There's also the link to Canberra Declaration as well. Warwick and Dave, thanks for your time, boys. God bless.
Thanks. All the best.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.